Well, I've had 6 conversations since last week, and only one person partially understood what I was trying to do. Nobody else did. My image to you is this. You have no, it appears to be that you have no image of yourself in life. People say to me, and few people got pissed off about this, well, I understand what you're saying, Roger. And I say, no, I don't think you do. I have harped for a long period of time that you need to create an image of everything that is said, not just by me, but by everybody and everything that goes on. If you don't create an image, you have no idea. So I say something?
No, go ahead.
If you don't create an image, you have no constancy in the self and life you're living. You're just living mindless data and information that doesn't hold together. However, that data and information comes to you every day. And there was a few people who were then, prior to that, without teaching other people. Well, I said, whoa, wait a minute, hang on here. What is the image that you have that you're showing or teaching others? One person said to me, well, you know, you've gotten to this point where you've got an eternal self, and a personal being, and a resplendent being. Now you've added a loner self and a universal self. And the point to all of that is you understand the words, but I don't think anybody out there has created an image of all those parts and pieces. If you have, please explain it to me, will you? Will you give me an image of all those parts and pieces, or how they function? Are they separate cells? Are they what?
I have to confess to a certain amount of confusion about the term sometimes. I don't know sometimes if we're talking about the same thing with a different name or if each of these things is different.
You see, Andrew, that answer right there tells me you have never created an image of each one and how they function. Regardless of how I said, you only are creating word pictures that don't mean anything.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, let me illustrate that for a minute. I want to talk about a dream. Dream I got in the email, and I'm not going to tell you whose dream it is, and I'm not going to expose much of the dream. Here's the dream. I took a cat for a walk. I got separated from the cat and embarked on a desperate search for her. I was in a busy commercial area. At one point, some stranger, don't know whether he was a she or he, came to me and said he had seen the cat close by. I immediately went to where this person directed. I spotted the cat and pursued her. She ran away and did everything she could to evade being caught. I finally did get hold of her, and upon giving a closer look, I let her go. Can anybody tell me anything about that dream? I guess not. You don't have enough information. Well, all I spoke to you, there was more information given to me in the dream, in the recording of this, but that was the dreamer's information that was added to the dream. The presumption is that from a image alone, like I took a cat for a walk, that's an image. What the hell can you say about that? Anything? Anybody? Because if you can't say anything about this, then I'm telling you that this portrays yourself in life today. Except for your own chatter, which obviously your chatter doesn't mean anything. The chatter that the dreamer applied and gave to me may or may not be anything to do with what the dream is saying.
Well, this is Sally, and I guess I'm adding something, but just the image of I took the cat for a walk, I just thought, how do you take a cat for a walk?
Well, you could either put him on a leash or call him and have him stay with you and walk with you. I've got a cat I have a cat that does that every morning when I go up for the paper.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't sound like a fit because I think you can take a dog for a walk, but you don't take a cat for a walk. I never heard of that. That just was a like, what?
Sure, but you see, what you're doing is you're adding to the, if the dream is supposed to portray something to the dreamer, it doesn't do any good to add judgments or your or other opinions on the dream. It's like every time a Bible thumper comes to my door, I said, I'll have a discussion with you on one condition, that your Bible is the sacred word of God, and every line that is in that Bible is what God means. Doesn't mean this, or doesn't mean less than that. It doesn't mean something else. He said, oh no, you can't do that. You got to take it as a whole, so that he can then go to any other part or book of the Bible and say, well, you see, now this means that back in Genesis. No. If you tell me it's the sacred word of God, then the image portrayed in each line is exactly what is meant, and nothing more, nothing less.
Right, but that's why I said I'm adding something, because I can hear myself going, what?
But the point is, you're so much in the habit of adding stuff to everything you do, as well as your dreams. This is why I didn't even want to tell you who it was the dream came from, because you would add your opinion of that person to the dream.
Right?
Right. I didn't even tell that person I was going to tell his dream. But if, and I say that this is true, if dreams are clear-cut images speaking to the dreamer, they should just as well, like the Bible, be able to say, well, it means what it says. I took a cat for a walk. If we then say, well, wait a minute now, we do understand that there's a little symbolism in here.
Okay.
Can you not get a picture of taking a cat for a walk? And what do you see? What is the image portrayed by that?
I see a person taking, going along with a smaller animal, a cat, on a leash or just walking side by side.
No, okay.
The cat is something that they nurture and take care of and grow. Okay. So something that they're nurturing is taking care of, they're taking for a walk. They're going out with this thing that they're taking care of, growing.
Very good. Okay. Very good. You see how far we've come in all of this? And I haven't given you any information, and yet we're able to come to some good conclusions in saying something that you've nurtured and taken care of. I got separated from the cat and embarked on a desperate search for her.
Can I chime in on that?
Sure.
That's like saying, so this thing, whatever thing in my life, everything in my life, this is just showing that I've been taking care of and nurturing.
Wait. Hate this goddamn black box. I can't stop anybody. You can't say everything because a cat, okay, to start with is particular. So it's a particular something that they're nurturing, okay, that took for a walk. And it's a particular something that they got separated from.
Okay, point taken. Yeah, I should have known that. Okay. But in any case, so whenever the in life, as this particular something they've been nurturing, they get separated from, they go on a desperate search for it. And there's the relationship of what you do when you get separated from this thing.
Okay. See, we've already then just looking at the action alone and not imposing foreign information that I have in the dream from the dreamer, which skews everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, maybe when I don't have that information, I can just focus on, you know, the, what do you want to call it, the actions, the relationships, and maybe do a better job of staying focused.
Okay, could we say then that maybe in your life, if you don't have your feelings, opinions, and judgments, you could do a better job of understanding what the hell you're living and living?
Wow, I totally agree with you. I mean, emotions stupefy.
That's right.
Literally.
Okay, and the next line was, I was in a busy commercial area.
Yeah, in life, you come, you know, when you come to, or as, well, in life, when you come to a busy, what, the business of, area of the business of life going on.
Okay, you see, so somewhere, something that was lost, well, apparently this whole event was occurring within a commercial area, or pay unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
Yes.
Or in a person's daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then at one point, some stranger, he came to me and said, he or she, didn't know which it was, had seen the cat somewhere close by. What's that?
That's like as you're going along in your life, paying unto Caesar or being in the business of life, there's a stranger, someone you don't know, comes up and says, hey, I know, I've seen this thing that you are looking for. I've seen this thing you were nurturing once and lost.
Is there any corollary to eternal self in that?
Pretty much that's what I'm following along as we go here, yeah.
It doesn't give me an answer. Yeah. Tell me the corollary.
I'm trying to. I said that as I go along nurturing my eternal self in life and I'm going out into the world to walk with this thing, I lose it. I get separated, and I get panicky, and I run out and find myself in the busy areas of life, and yeah, somebody, wow, comes along and says they found it, they know where this thing is that I've lost, or they've seen it.
Yeah, it's not what I asked.
What'd you ask, sorry?
I said, is there a real corollary between eternal self in this? What if, now, so back up. What is your eternal self? From what I described last Monday, what is your eternal self? And what I have been saying for 5 or 6 years, that's all.
I think that you, I think the eternal self is a position that I create for myself to stand within, so I have a view of myself and my life and what I'm doing.
Okay, let's assume that for the moment.
It's something I think of it as like a pet that I've nurtured, that developed.
So don't talk about the cat. Talk about the position. That's what I'm asking you. Karen stand on the blue magazine of her eternal self, what was she doing?
She was putting herself in a certain position in life and looking at things that way, from there.
How was she looking at it?
Well, from that position.
What position?
It was all from that position.
What position?
The eternal position.
And so what was she doing?
And so what was she doing?
Yes.
She was living her life from...
No, when she stepped on the magazine to look at her personal self from an eternal position, what was she doing?
Well, let's see. She was... I don't know, creating, giving herself another point of view.
You see, this is the most vital part of all. If you give yourself another point of view, but don't change yourself, what good is it? I can't hear anybody.
Okay. Sally was asking, was she communing with that position?
Why can't you guys say she was standing in that position as she, as an eternal being? She doesn't take only the position, she takes the attitude, the emotion, the words, the verbs, the understandings, the awarenesses of an eternal being. A stranger to most people.
Okay.
You understand? It doesn't do you any... It's like old Connie used to say, well, no matter where you go, there you are. Yeah, because you brought your personal self with you.
So that's not communing.
What has communing got to do with any of this?
Well, you're not separate, alone from eternal self.
What does that mean? Eternal self, according to Andrew, is a place where you stand. If you don't stand there, you must be alone from that place.
Okay.
So, like I said, I was trying to give you guys an overall view and the very basic concepts of an eternal self, which I have repeated hundreds of times, makes no sense.
But Roger, if considering the way Andrew expressed it, and I think you agree, is the place where you stand, then does that place exist without you, or is it
That's not the question. Let me put it this way. If you are on the shore and looking out at sea, you have a shore view perspective and a shore view attitude and emotion. If I take you out into the waves, you're going to have a wet view attitude and emotions. What I'm trying to say, if you're going to stand in a position of your eternal self, you have to take then a whole different perspective of yourself and a whole different viewpoint of everything that is occurring from an eternal viewpoint.
Okay, that helps. Now I can have an image of it. I can see it. Thank you.
So it was not good enough to just stand on a magazine and say, well, I see myself over there. I see myself over there from the position of being an eternal observer.
Right.
With eternal attitudes and emotions and beliefs and thoughts.
Right.
This was the point of then saying, what might it look like from that perspective, from those words, from those attitudes and thoughts, then, if you look back at yourself. Now, why did I say this to do?
Can you ask that question again?
Why did I say for you to do this?
Because you cannot know yourself from your own incestuous point of view. You have to have at least two positions or two selves to deal with to know yourself.
How? You're giving me conclusions. Talk to me. Why doesn't it work? You're telling me this doesn't work, so you got to do that, but you've left everything gaposis in the middle. Why? What goes on? What? Describe why I can't do this, or why I should do something else. You see, what you are using, it's too incestuous, so you can't do it, and thus, therefore, then. But you didn't talk about this, therefore, then.
Okay. All right, I see. So, okay. What I mean by incestuous is because if I'm looking or trying to be myself and understand myself and everything myself from within myself, that is so self-referential that I can't see and understand anything that I'm doing. It's just the nature of the beast. It just doesn't seem to work that way.
Okay.
I need another point of view that I can stand and look at myself or anything so that I can, from that comparative perspective, I can see.
Wait. Stop. Frustrating this damn black box. What is this? What are these words, this comparative view? What are you comparing?
One position, how I am acting and what I think I'm doing, and then in this other position that has a different point of view, different emotions, different ideas, I look at what I'm doing and those actions are different looking.
Why are they different looking?
Because I'm looking at them within a context that colors or shapes everything as...
Wait just a minute now.
Yep.
You are looking at them from a different context. You're not assuming a different context to then look back at the original.
I'm sorry, I cut there. I need you to repeat it one more time. I'm not what?
You're assuming a different context using Andrew. Still carrying Andrew to this other place. Wow, I got a different view of me and I got a different context. But you're still speaking and thinking and looking as Andrew. You went to this other place, but you didn't take on the persona of Anno.
Again, I just
want a
point of clarification here. What we were talking about, I don't know, 5 minutes ago or whatever, you said that when you're in the position of eternal self or on the notebook, you have the attitudes and the beliefs of that position.
No, I said you have to put yourself into that. You, in other words, if you're going to go stand in an eternal position of Anno, then you have to subdue Andrew and take on the persona of Anno.
Which I can't do unless I create that persona beforehand.
But I said from the very beginning that you must create your eternal self.
Yes.
Then you are creating that persona and that place where that persona stands, and when you stand in that place, like being moved to stage left, and you speak your lines as the second coming, you damn well better take on the persona of the second coming.
Okay, you know, I'm going to say something here.
Okay.
For a long time, I wasn't sure why, if the eternal self was not a self, it was a position, why we used the word self. So I thought it was a real thing.
Because when you stand there and you take on the persona of Anno, that becomes yourself.
Now I think I understand you. I hadn't considered.
I've only said that for 6 years.
Okay.
All right. So, and that was the point. It was not only a place, but where you stand to get a different view, but you have to stand in that place with that view, with that persona that you have created.
Oh. All right.
Is that okay?
No.
Rog, that's actually really good for me.
I was getting a couple of feedbacks. Are somebody trying to get in this conversation? Do so.
I just said that's all really good for me. Thanks.
No, so I thought somebody else said something.
I thought so. Nope.
Okay, so you create Anno. All right, let me back up again. If I say to you that you have a privilege of deciding, as a privileged being, you, Andrew, have the privilege of deciding how you will be and live eternally, then instead of trying to become something, when you create Anno, you would create that persona and call it Anno, would you not?
I would.
So that then, and when I asked you to write letters to Anno, then you would write to that persona. And when I asked...
From that persona.
Huh?
And respond with answers from that persona as well.
That's right. And that was to get you into assuming a role in life, or like an actor in that regard. But assuming then what it would be like to be in that role as an eternal being that you have just created.
Oh, okay.
Supposing you didn't like that.
All right.
Could you not then create another image of Anno 2?
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, I sure could.
So you could create 33 images of Anno from 1 to 33, try it out, step into that position, but also assume that persona, and so that you can look at yourself. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great. Actually.
So then you would have... If you did that, you would have 33 different persona images of your physical self.
Mm.
And you would have tried on and used or abused or forsake 33 Anno images as an eternal being.
Mm.
Is that okay?
I think actually that's really good. You know, yeah, I never really, I never got into it that far, but yeah, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's all I've ever said. Is it possible then that the stranger was like, you're not taking on the persona of Anno? Could it be then that something like this, you were expecting Anno to speak to you and give you advice?
I sure was.
You see? Now I said,
I thought it was a real persona.
That's right.
And it is.
It is a persona. You take on that persona. Then all of a sudden we've said, well, if you're struggling to be a great, wondrous spiritual leader, take on that persona and see how it works. So, okay. I immediately went to that person where that this person directed. Would you be willing to do what Anno directed? This is just a question.
I would be.
Wait just a minute now.
Yeah.
If Anno directed, who is directing you?
I, as Anno persona, am directing me.
What?
I, as the Anno persona, am directing me.
So you're directing yourself?
Interestingly, yes.
From a different perspective?
Yes.
Which gives you a different look at what you're doing and what you're thinking about doing?
Yes.
And the presumption of that is maybe that when you shrink back into Andrew, well, I'm going to do this because it feels good. It must be right. But when you get over here into honor perspective, everything might change, huh?
Yeah.
But it's all you.
Okay.
So I immediately went to where the person directed. What?
Wait. I just lost step with you on this dream. I had found an image of the idea of nurturing and growing my eternal self as a cat, and then some stranger came up. I didn't think of that as being Anno. What did you switch it to that for?
What have we been talking about? For the last 3 weeks.
Been talking about a bi-loner self and a universal self.
Then, are you not willing to say, well, just maybe the cat represents a loner self or a universal self?
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
And I was just saying the strength. Now, haven't we come a long way in just this kind of an interpretation away from saying, well, what does the cat means to me? I guess, well, it means, like I say, all cats are feminine, all dogs are masculine. I guess it must be my femininity. If I impose that on the cat, your first question, as I've asked before, if I wanted to talk about my femininity, I'm more likely to use something other than a cat. Something that is truly feminine. Somebody, an old girlfriend or something like that. I don't know.
Not something that you've probably been nurturing and taking for a walk.
Yeah.
That'd be a weird relationship if it was.
And when you spotted the cat and pursued her, she ran away and did everything she could to evade being caught. Now let's assume this cat is, say, your universal being.
What? Loner self.
Your universal being.
Okay.
If you get a glimpse of the universal being, and does it seem to run away and avoid you?
Well, I can get a glimpse of it, and then I can certainly see how I lose sight of it or something like that.
But in this, then, I finally did get hold of her, and upon giving a closer look, she was similar, but I let her go. In other words, if you were chasing after Anno in, or after yourself, or a resplendent being that is greater than Anno, if you caught that and discovered, well, maybe that's not for me, or that's not what I truly desire. The whole process of eternal self is leading you up to then being able to portray what you desire, see what you desire, and decide whether that is what you truly desire.
Yeah.
Is that okay? From what we have said, who creates the universal self?
I gotta think about what we've said. You do mean universal self, you don't mean eternal self, is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't relate to universal self to anything we said as being created.
Well, give me a talk to me about that. If I said to you, I want you to have a universal self, to know it, see it, understand it, beyond Anno, what would you do?
Now I understand. Okay, now I understand what you're saying. Okay. Let's see here. I would outfit it with some kind of a face, a persona, a life, a history, a thing like that. It's something that I forgot about this. It's something that sort of doesn't exist in the universe until I give it life, and then it becomes apparent its existence.
Well, yeah, I know, but then if you give it existence, haven't you created it?
And that's the next sentence I'm going to say. Then I've created it. Then I'm the creator of the universal self.
So there's no universal self that creates you. You create the universal self. Because in the same way we would say God doesn't create you, you created God.
All right.
And I finally did get hold of her, and upon giving a closer look, I let her go. Is it possible then that, as I said last week, all of the universal stuff, the personal self and resplendent self, I said, was to give you practice in preparing you for understanding yourself as a universal being? If you begin creating Anno and stepping into that position and looking at your personal self and understanding yourself, aren't you in that way then rehearsing or practicing?
Yeah. It fits perfect. Hand in glove.
Well, let me ask you another question. What does eternal mean?
Eternal means recurring.
What does that mean?
Meaning, it doesn't mean it's ongoing. It means in every moment it appears again, but anew.
So you would have, or could have, a different self, eternal self and life in every existence.
You mean in every moment or every existence or both, yes.
And you could have, in that regard then, a different eternal self in every moment.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to that idea, but I follow what you're saying. Yes.
You don't believe that?
Well, my question is, if it's different in every moment, then what's the recurring just a self that recurs?
If you create an eternal self, and then another, you create an Anno, then a Bono, then a Cano, then a Dono, and an Anno and a Fano, you kept recreating a different eternal self. Isn't that eternal? Isn't that an eternal doing? Isn't that recurring?
Yes.
If every ensuing moment replaces the prior moment, yet the prior moment is completely replaced, but that goes on and on and on and on, such that it seems like it continues eternally, doesn't it?
I always forget that one, yes. They're replacing every this, yes.
But it's anew in every moment.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, if it's something continues, that means that the thing itself as it is continues, but eternally. Or if we talk about this in the eternal being recurring, then it can recur differently in every ensuing moment, and still be eternally recurring. Well, I don't know.
Okay, I'm up to that. I'm up with that.
So, we can then get a whole lot of information about this without knowing who it is or anything about the person or anything about the cat.
That's true. But you said earlier something about if we impose that the cat means feminine nature or whatever, it seems to me, clarify me if I'm wrong here, that we, to gain understanding, we do impose context and characters upon the dream, then we get different understandings by doing that.
Well, what I asked you to do is to go to Anno's position and take Anno's persona. If the dream is about universal self, and you impose personal self on the interpretation and then interpret it relative to Andrew, you're only going to get Andrew-ness out of it.
I got you. So you're saying we're not arbitrary. I see. Imposing was a word of arbitrary, always deciding it means feminine. But if I go to a certain context or point of view, then certain other things become apparent.
For instance, the dream reads this way. I took a cat for a walk, parent. The cat belonged to Karen and myself, but was not one of the cats we have today. It appeared to be one that passed about 11 years ago, just before we moved to our present location. Then, don't you see how that, though it's parent, it controls the focus of your understanding the dream?
Yes. Oh, I see.
But none of that was a part of the dream. That was a part of his interpretation or experiencing the dream from, now you can know it's Pat, from Pat's position. That doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
What? It doesn't count because you then only come up with a self-justifying, already known self, so that it doesn't include any new information.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Can we say then, without that imposition, that maybe the cat represents something that appeared and passed away 11 years ago? Can we then ask Patrick, what 11 years ago were you nurturing and avoid cat per se, because that may misdirect him.
Mm-hmm. Good notion.
So, Patrick?
What I was nurturing at that point in time was something that I called the Cobble Hill Institute. It was going to be a vehicle that I would use to deliver information regarding forever living.
And so you were you taking that out and trying it out somewhat in your life, and because of, well, let's say not because of, but you got separated from all of that?
Got all tied up in business.
Because you got all tied up in business?
Yep. And that would fit in the dream.
What?
That would fit in the dream, because the dream had this all taking place in a commercial setting.
That's right. So with the rest of the dream, which we won't go into the rest of the dream. I only wanted this to show because tonight is about dreams, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm.
So does that help you out any, Patrick?
A whole pile. A whole pile.
Okay. You see why, if you don't know what the cat represents, and I couldn't, we've now talked about this for an hour, I couldn't do all that crap on an email.
That's right. And Roger, I want to interject here. Andrew, thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Oh, sure, no problem. Actually, it was. Thank you for the dream.
Okay. What I was trying to do then is to give you an overall image of what I've been talking about, and so that you could lay everything you're doing or wondering about onto that overall image. So if you don't create an image as a pattern to lay everything in your life upon, you will never, never understand anything about your life.
Oh.
Is this okay, Patrick?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have, or maybe you don't, do you have a handy dandy image maker?
Image maker?
Yeah.
You mean my imagination?
I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe if you didn't have an image maker and you use your imagination, you would just be imagining Patrick.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Do you have a handy dandy image maker?
Yeah.
What is it?
And it is the. My eternal self.
No.
I can take on the persona of it. And
he says no.
No.
He says no. He says no. I was going to go that direction too. So, Rod,
and the reason I say no is because you will manipulate yourself in that way.
Oh, you're talking about dreams then.
Oh, my God. You mean to tell me that dreams could serve as a clear image of what the self and life you're living regardless of what you think you're living because you can't manipulate it?
Can only manipulate it when I add to it, when I write it down later.
So, if we said as a beginning, and I said this last week as a reason why, if that's an eternal position for you as masters, to take that position and to be able to see and look at, then you can't manipulate masters.
Okay.
in a dream?
No, not at all.
Like in this case. But yet you created the dream as masters. What we're then trying to do is to say, okay, if you as masters created this dream, what were you trying to say to yourself? And why do you then impose stuff on the dream to manipulate it to say only what you want to hear? Because with that add to it, then you would go to cats, what they mean to you, femininity, independence, and what I said, it may even mean control or lack of control. Now we're at Cobble Hill, and that, to me, is most important. What if you were to begin creating a Cobble Hill place, foundation, whatever, to be able to teach these things? And that didn't have it doesn't have to happen at Cobble Hill. It can be.
I was going to say.
Huh?
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
That's right. It, wherever you are, that's where it is. You okay with this, Patrick?
Yeah, and is it? Do we also get the benefit then of rather than just, yeah, I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing? If I particularize it around a formal naming, don't I reinforce the image more completely?
I'm not too sure. I heard what you said, but I'm not too sure I understood what you said.
Well, there's thinking about it, and there's actually doing something.
Okay, thinking about it doesn't do the universe any damn good. If you do something, the universe will react.
That's right. So doing something, at least in naming it, it's a particularization that I can do or not do anything further, that's for sure.
Okay, now let me ask you another question, and I won't get involved in it, I just want a yes or no out of you. What if you created a venue with Karen, and that then became the venue of the Cobble Hill, whatever?
Yes. That's the yes to that, and Karen was very much involved with the Cobble Hill Institute discussion.
But Karen was also involved in the rest of the dream.
In my telling of it.
No, it was also, well, no, because even in the dream, she came into the dream per se.
Yes.
The dream morphed into me and Karen being in a large meeting of the government caucus.
I forgot that part, yes.
I think you should take a look at the dream in that context.
Yeah, yes.
So, I'll go into reading a few things here. You can stop me whenever you want to. Every night, you, which is a temporary loner self, go to sleep and dream of you as an eternal, universal being. And this being is eternal only because it is universal. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll just keep going. Nobody wants to answer me. It is universal. What?
Making sure, in my mind, I was making sure that I heard what I thought I heard, and that was that it is eternal because it is universal?
Yeah.
Universal being everywhere and so recurring.
What?
Anywhere, anytime. The image I have of it, of universal, is being everywhere, and I was thinking of eternal recurring, anywhere, anytime, I guess. Is that how you mean it?
Well, not quite as you say, but it's independent of time and space. Can universal be independent of time and space? Let me ask you another question. Is your dream has an appearance of time and space, but is your dream independent of time and space?
Oh, yeah.
So we all think so, yeah.
So then, yep. In your dream, then, you are independent of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
You are faster than the speeding bullet, faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not held back by back or limited by gravity. We all love to fly in our dreams.
Yeah.
So all the limitations of your normal self in your physical or personal being, you shed that, and then taking on the persona in your dream. It isn't just looking from that position. You take on all the persona and free yourself from time and space. You can instantly be from here to there. And you can fly. And if all of this in your dream sounds familiar, it's because this describes your universal self.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you a question. Can we say that in your dreams you are introduced to your eternal self, or you introduce your eternal self to you?
I think in my dreams, that's a good question. Because if I introduce my eternal self to me, am I manipulating it? I guess I'd say I'm introduced to my eternal self.
What would you say, Patrick?
Door number two.
I can't hear you.
Introduce it to me. It's to introduce the eternal self to me.
Okay. Now, isn't that important, very important in that way, to keep you fully aware that you are creating your universal self? And you are introducing your universal self to its creator?
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you are introducing, when it seems that you are introducing your self to your eternal self, or universal self, it gives you that sense that it's there, that it exists, and it's greater than you, and you're being introduced like, well, I'll introduce you to God. So is it okay for you to say in this dream that, or feel or really understand, this is why dreams were so danged important all these years, but nobody wanted to give a dang. And I said, when we, through interpreting dreams without imposing on them as your personal self, then we'll talk about dreams as an eternal self. Now I'm talking about dreams as your universal self.
Mm.
Are the dreams then which you make the dreams and you create the eternal self, then aren't you then creating or introducing your eternal self that you have created to you?
It's sort of like, here, this is what you've been creating. What do you think?
That's exactly right. That's absolutely right. when you particularize your eternal universal self, when you particularize your universal self, you have created that self. And you then are the particularization of that universal self. What you do every day is creates your universal self, and you are then that universal self. So you're introducing your universal self to you. Well, how do you like this?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I get to decide if I like that. That makes some sense, I guess. Yeah.
You get to decide that from Andrew's position, and you get to decide that from Anna's position, and you get to decide that from the next position, Andrew, Anna. You okay with this, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm really good.
While there is an appearance of things, I gotta make a note here. Stop a minute. While there is the appearance of things and the feelings and emotions about occurrences in this universal world, there is no lasting effect. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Well, you're saying that there is the appearance of things.
In a dream, you live a story, you see things, you feel things, but there's no lasting effect. You, at the end of the dream, everything just fades away.
Yeah, right.
But yet the whole thing continues the next night in another episode. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you want to object to that?
No. I... How to describe this? Of late, going to bed is like going to the office, in a sense.
That's old age.
I know that I'm going into my dreams, and I think that's quite a desirable thing to do.
Okay, what I said. While there is appearance of things and the feeling emotions about things, etc., there is no lasting effect, and everything quickly fades and passes away. Then I said, only to continue again the next night in another episode. And then I said, is that okay?
Seems to be. I'm not sure what is that okay.
That okay only refers to only to continue again the next night in another episode. Is that okay?
I think that's fine, yes.
But I even impose that it's probably not true. Then what might be true?
Oh, that it's a whole new dream that's not continuing, but I can...
I didn't hear you.
Continuing? It's a whole new dream, it's not a continuation, but it can seem like that. Is that what you're saying?
What does it mean? I don't know what you mean.
Well, you're saying it continues again in a whole new episode, but maybe it doesn't continue. Maybe it just seems like it continues.
Well, what if it just seems like it continues, then tell me what might be going on that seems like it continues.
Okay, it's a whole new dream, but I have memories of the prior, and I might think from those memories, oh, here I am again.
Patrick, do you want to take a look at this?
Well, it seems that what we're talking about, what that sounds like, it's like recurring eternal life.
What if the dream is not recurring?
Hang on a sec. Is it important to say the dream?
I didn't hear you. What?
Are you suggesting saying, are we making a distinction here between a dream or the dream and the act and action of dreaming?
What's going on? What if I've... You see, this is what I try to do. I don't want to tell you the freaking answer because it doesn't... You remember it. All I keep doing is trying to say, no, 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 no. Every avenue I want to cut off until you say, well then, goddammit, Roger, it must mean this. Even if you get mad about it, I don't really care. At least you put some emotion into it and then you understand what you just said. What other alternative do you have?
That it's a new dream of your new current present self, and you get to look at it and say what you think of that.
You see, you're stuck in the word recurring.
Mm-hmm.
I never said it was a recurring dream. What if it's not a recurring dream? What if it is an abiding dream, day and night and all the time? And the only thing is that is occurring, recurring, is you go to bed and then you pay attention.
Abiding? Is this a new word? Abiding?
What's wrong with a new word? I mean, it starts at, it's in the front of your diction under A.
No, I mean, I don't recall having discussed this in prior weeks, that's all.
I didn't ask you whether we've discussed it before. I'm asking you to think. If it isn't recurring, and it isn't new and different, what are your alternatives? Could it be then that the recurring is you, not the dream? That could it be that the dream is ever ongoing or abiding, and you tune into it every now and then?
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, what else if it's about your eternal self? What, do you got one of them things every now and then? Excuse me, your universal self. You got one of them things every now and then? Or if you're going to create an eternal universal self, it must be abiding. It doesn't continue because it never stops.
That's interesting.
Isn't that true of your life? Did you ever stop since you were born and begin again?
No. It's just that my life seems to have more of a permanence to it. Wake up and the same things are still there. A dream.
Andrew? This is what I'm talking about. Pay attention to what I'm conversing about, not about other stuff.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk to Patrick for a while. Patrick?
Yes.
Can you abide with this?
Yeah. Well, as soon as you said enough, I could see, of course, the dream is going on all the time, and therefore then the universal self, of course it's 24/7.
Of course it is, but you then, when you get out of your commercial endeavors and etc., or you go to sleep, and we've set it up to to only dream while we're asleep.
That's right.
The universe.
Otherwise, you're accused of daydreaming and
everything else takes precedence.
That's right.
But yet, you are actively living your dream, creating your dream, living your dream, creating your dream, living universal being all the time. It's abiding. And it appears to be recurring only because you tune in every now and then.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Who creates this image of you as a universal being in a universal world?
I do.
And then the next question, does the dream continue from night to night?
Now you're saying, I'm thinking, no, it doesn't continue from night to night. It never stops.
Because what I said, or merely become new and different versions of the singular of a singular theme. If it's from one perspective, it could be new and different versions of a singular theme, but it could also be a continuous abiding theme, which appears new and different, which appears reoccurring simply because you tune in every now and then.
Hey, Raj, this is, in my mind, this is edging up next to a different view of eternal being.
Of what? Are you eternal or universal?
I was going to say eternal because we're using the appearance of recurring.
What?
Never mind, just keep going where you're going. I don't want to go there yet.
Well, why? If you've got something mixed up, you've got to get it straightened out.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if that's what we're going to say about a dream, that it appears recurring, but it's actually abiding. Oh, I see why you said universal self. No, I don't. Is a universal self recurring or abiding?
I didn't ask you that question.
Okay.
I asked the question, is universal? What do you mean by the word universal? You have always thought that it meant from beginning to never ending. And all I've said from the beginning of this conversation about universal, it is recurring. Just universal, the word, not how we then apply it.
So universal is recurring. Okay.
What does that mean?
It means recur, and universal is supplanted in each new moment. Again, it's new and all different. Again,
Patrick, can you deal with that?
I have a similar line. It's universal, recurring. I go all over the place, Roger. I go away.
But the point of it is, I'm sorry, this is the language conflict that I am trying to undo in a certain way. And I went to universal. Now, universal. And Andrew brought us back to eternal. In this regard, I want you to tell me what then, in your opinion, don't ask me, what in your opinion does it mean universal self?
the universal self is my, the particularization that I'm living into the universal.
Okay, let's assume that for the moment, and then you could live that or create that position by what you are doing. This Karen used to call that the long view. Take the long view of yourself rather than the short view of yourself. And in that, then, is there then a universal self that is abiding?
I think so.
If you think there is a universal self that is abiding, you just sunk knee deep in alligators of religious alligators.
Can you explain that?
What?
Well, it seems like what it, the religious that you're talking about would be like something that exists before me, after me. It's not something I'm actively involved in. It's not something I'm creating.
That's right, you have never stepped out of that view in terms of universal at all. The reason for getting or discussing this from a universal self position and etc. and getting that understood and etc. so that we could move to the universal self. Well, I'm not going to live long enough to get this across. So I moved on to universal self. The question is, why, even if I use the same words in this way, if you say that the universal is a position or recurring view you take, why must it be an abiding self?
Roger, see, this is where I'm missing step. In my mind, I thought that the eternal was the recurring and thing. I didn't know that they're the same.
What's the same?
The eternal and the universal were the same.
I never said they were. I said they're not. You tried to make them, because of the word abiding, you tried to make them the same. There is...
Okay, I thought I just heard you say that universal is a position that you stand in, and I'm getting confused.
I meant eternal.
Is it?
I meant eternal. I'm sorry. I understand that.
All right.
I got to go backwards again here. Abiding, can you please tell us how you're using it? Because if what I think it means...
If something is abiding or enduring, and let's say endlessly, then in that there is no continuing, is there? Continuing can only occur if there is an ending and then continuing.
Oh.
If you are a universal being, if you are all things as a universal being, you are free of time and space, then you are abiding. There is no beginning and no ending in that. You can merely change appearances in that regard, but even in changing appearances, that's merely abiding, not continuing. I mean, I don't know what I don't know what kind of dictionaries you guys use, or even if the ones on the net are worth a crap. So that's how I'm using it, and this is how and why, which is in my dictionary. This is how and why we're creating our own dictionary for these things. Abiding does not mean continuing, simply because there is no discontinuing.
Okay.
So, the question that I started to ask here earlier, but I didn't. If you could choose continuing or universal, which would you choose and why?
Never been asked that before, so I'm thinking about it. Let me see. I will say...
Why don't you consult with Patrick, and then you all decide on an answer.
Well, that would be new. Okay, Patrick.
Well, if conversation we just had, universal means no discontinuing,
right?
And but also probably means no particularization. So it would tend to think then that the choice between universal and continuing, I would start to tend to continue, because that would be a particularization.
Can I offer to you that 2 weeks ago you were you were posing the question of can you be universal and particular at the same time, and we agreed that that was possible. So I'd be willing to say universal is particular to a certain degree.
Wait a minute, Andrew. I'm willing to bet that all you've done is resuppose some conclusions and then take this opposite point of view. Can you tell me anything about how you can be particular and eternal at the same time?
Particular and universal at the same time?
Particular and universal at the same time.
I think that by actioning in a certain way, I am being particular and living that into the universal that I am giving life to.
Crap.
A universe? Okay. Let me see if I understand this, though. We say that the universe...
Well, wait a minute.
Yep.
Is it possible that if you as a thing cannot be universal and particular at the same time, are you willing to stop being a thing?
Okay, yes I am.
Well, what would you be?
I define myself as a thing.
What would you be?
I would be a... I would be a...
Well, ask Pat what he would be.
I would be actioning.
What does that mean?
It would be that...
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. Let me... you would be actioning. You are then a thing actioning. So our language has to go trapped in that regard. Subject yeah. does.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
how to express that without getting in that trap?
Well, the point to all of this is that as long as you think of yourself as a thing, and you do, you're trapped because you can muffle words around till you're blue in the face about, oh, I'm universal in particular. But you don't have to know how to live that. You don't know how to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that doesn't work, can't you come back and say, well, then maybe I have to change the you that's trying to do that? What if you're not a thing? Here, let me back up. Spiritual teachers say you can be worldly or you can be spiritual. Take your choice, but you can't be both. What I am saying is, oh yes, you can. You can be worldly and spiritual simultaneously. Well, what would you have to be to do that?
You'd have to be universal.
What?
You'd have to be universal.
But what does it mean? All you've done is apply a word and think that answers the question. It doesn't. You called it a universal, as you then made it a thing. Well, okay, I'm going to tell you this. We'll get into that in detail. If you can't change the doing, change yourself. Okay?
No.
Why?
We can't change ourselves. You mean change the self that's acting?
Change your view and image of yourself. Maybe because of your language, you already have a distorted view of yourself. Do you want me to prove that?
No, no bother.
Why? All right, Patrick, you stay with me. You want to answer these questions?
I'll guess I will.
Is your body made up of cells?
Yes.
Are the cells made up of molecules?
Yes, they are.
Are the molecules made up of atoms?
Yes, they are.
Are the atoms made up of particles?
Yes, they are.
What's a particle?
Data.
Doing what? Is a particle a thing or something else? Even science doesn't really know what a particle is. They spent all that money over in CERN to smash particles together and they don't know what they're doing. What's a particle? Is a particle a lump of stuff?
Isn't it energy?
What does that mean?
Well, it seems to me that anything I've learned about subatomic physics is that those little muggers, little tiny things, are constantly in motion, and they...
Oh, wait, stop. If that's true, then those tiny little bugger things are only emotion.
Ah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, then particle is only motion. Is he willing to go along with that?
I'd be willing to go with that.
Does that mean then that atoms are things, or are atoms motion?
They are motion.
Are molecules things or motion?
It follows they must be motion as well.
Well, we're getting close here for a moment, so I got to stop and ask you, what's motion?
Motion is, something moving from one point to another.
But what? All right, let me put it this way. Suppose that I define motion as a process. And you would say it's a process of moving from one place to another. Whatever it is, it's motion. It's a process. It's an action. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. Does that change anything? If I say that a subatomic particle is not a lump of stuff, it ain't even a lump of energy. Although they do have particles of they call energy. Those are bosons, I think. Or maybe they're fermions. Whatever. But can you then, are you willing to say then, at least for this conversation, that a particle is motion is only a process?
Sure.
Then an atom is a process.
Uh-huh.
And a molecule is a process, and a cell is a process, and therefore we can reasonably assume, by golly, your body is only a process. What if that's true? Because it is. I just thought I'd ask you the question. Does that make any kind of reasonable sense? I took your lumpy body and made it a process. Isn't your body and every atom in your body in motion? Isn't every cell in motion? How could you call it anything else but a process?
It actually fits together quite nicely, Roger.
Well then, can we say then that maybe it's possible for a thing to not be both universal and particular at the same time, but a process could be universal and particular at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a tree is not a thing, which we've defeated ourselves in that. The tree is a tree-ish process. And a bird is a bird. Oh, and a cat is a catty process.
Yeah.
So what we call a thing is really describing a particular process.
Describing a particular process. Yeah, that makes sense.
We didn't convert it to a thing other than a process. Well, their language did, and then you've lost your awareness of it being a process. Your life is only a process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Living is a process. Dying is a process. Everything about you is a process.
Right.
So then a universal self is a universal process. Is it possible for you to be a universal process and a particular personal process at the same time? Science says that two things can occupy the same space at the same time. Two processes can. In the funky quantum weird world, we say, oh, well, that means that a particle in the quantum world can be at two places simultaneously in different places. There's equivalence for that. You as a process can be in two separate places at the same time, or two processes in the same place at the same time.
And that's revealed or experienced in dreams?
If it is the process of walking a cat, and the cat's a process, and you're a process, etc., don't we then be, aren't we able to describe the process we see rather, which makes sense, rather than the appearances which don't make any real sense?
Okay.
So you're 5 foot something or other and underweight or overweight, it doesn't make any difference. So what? So Buddha comes along and says, the appearances are nothing, it's all an illusion. No! It's a process, and that ain't an illusion. Are we okay? Somewhere in here, somebody's got to tell me we're okay, or I'm going to quit, one or the other.
That makes sense.
Are you okay with that? In other words, I'm trying to get you... Can you see your dreams only as a process that reveals to you being a process?
Yes.
It reveals to me the process
that you
that
are
I'm living.
That you're living. See how simple that was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But once you try to create everything as a thing, you're stymied.
Oh, I see. Sure. So I can always choose to process a new way. I don't have to be stuck with the thing.
And process.
Andrew, you use the word process differently than I just did, which is okay, but it's going to trap you.
Yeah. So, Roger, process, just the concept of process, then there's no start-stop in it.
Do you see? There's no start-stop for you. You are abiding process. There is no start-stop for your dream. It's an abiding process, which you tune into and tune out of, and then you create, by doing that, starts and stops, or apparent starts and stops are reoccurring.
So, continuity is not even an issue with process.
You mean continuing?
That's what I mean. Continuing is not...
Correct.
Okay.
Because if the process is abiding and... All right, let me put it this way. Let's assume that you die. Your body dies. Would it be okay for the thing to die, but the process does not?
Right.
If I do something, and then I don't do it, and I die, the process is still available, isn't it?
Right.
I'm not. But the process is still available. So the process is abiding. It may not be in action, but it's abiding to be processed.
So living and dying are actually particulars of process.
How about them apples? And it's only because it's tuning in, tuning out.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
More than okay.
Well, let's see now, where are we? Well, it's almost a thing. Let's see. So, then you're willing to understand, as Sally just said, that a universal being does not continue. Is that okay?
Yes.
Why is it okay?
Well, because it's not a thing that stops and starts. It's process, which is doesn't involve continuing.
Okay, so then a universal being in that regard abides, which has no starts and stops. It's abiding, and without starts and stops, it isn't continuing.
Right.
It, because it isn't discontinuing.
Right.
Then in the same way, can you, as we were where we got into this thing from the back door, can you understand that you have one abiding dream that follows you and portrays you night and day?
Yes.
Which you constantly bring into form and focus it away.
Yeah.
And all of that creates a seeming of beginnings and endings.
Yeah.
Where you begin in a dream by tuning in, that is its incipit. Are you beginning to see then that you are creating the incipit by where you tune in? Can't hear you.
Attention.
I can't hear you.
Tuning in can also mean when I start to pay attention.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And when you're so involved in your loner body and self and life and commercial, etc., you're not paying attention. You're not tuning in. Somewhere along the line, then you decide to tune in. Where you tune in, which is important in that regard, that beginning tuning in is not an accident, it is an incipit.
Oh.
Then where you begin to tune out, then where you tune out, not where you begin to tune out or stop paying attention, that gap from tune in to tune out particularizes your universal self. Is that okay?
Yes.
So, the universal self, like the dream, is an ongoing, abiding, universally whole, all of everything, but is nothing, but you make it something by tuning in and tuning out.
Oh.